My name is Josh. I serve as the youth pastor here at White Pine, and I have the privilege of speaking with you guys this morning. So thanks for being here. I don't know about you. I don't know if I'm more excited about the fact that Christmas is in 2 days or that the week of horror is behind us. The week before Christmas always gets me. It's like it's a week where not only are you trying to scramble and finishing up your work so you can actually really take time off of work, but it's also a time when your family packs in a bunch of traditions and you have your shopping and your Christmas prep and your kids get sick and everything that can go wrong. And it's just a tough week to go through. And this season, any holiday season here in Maine, it's already tough enough because of just the darkness. I mean, Friday was the darkest night of the year. And it's like so many hours of darkness. We're all deficient on vitamin D, like the one vitamin we need to feel good. And not only those things, but also this is a season for a lot of people where it's a reminder of something or someone they've lost. Or perhaps something that you just don't have. And living in an age of Instagram and Facebook, that doesn't help anything. And not only the Christmas to-dos and the financial stress of overspending for Christmas, but it seems like everything that typically helps us feel good gets taken away from us during the holiday season. WebMD put out an article called 10 Natural Depression Treatments. The first five are this. One, get in a routine, which is something we're all getting out of. Two, set goals. Three, exercise. Yeah. Four, eat healthy, not in our household. Five, get enough sleep, which when family comes to town, no one does. Like everything that typically keeps us feeling good and happy is all taken away during this time. And it's like life in general is tough enough without the extra added stressors. It's not just poor people or unaccomplished people, even rich people and well-accomplished people struggle with episodes of sadness and depression. One of the greatest presidents in U.S. history, in my opinion, Abraham Lincoln, he once said this. He said, "I am now the most miserable man living. If what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one cheerful face on earth. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I regretfully foretell I shall not. To remain as I am is impossible. I must die or be better, it appears to me." Life's just tough, and it's tough for all of us. And unfortunately, we live in a day and age where the common assumption when someone is sad and struggling is, ooh, they've done something wrong, or they haven't managed their life very well, obviously, which isn't always the case. There was a time when Jesus lived, when he and his disciples were traveling, and they passed a guy who was blind and he was born blind, and his disciples asked Jesus. They made this same assumption about him. They asked Jesus. They said, "Hey, Jesus, who sinned, this guy or his parents?" And Jesus says, "Neither of them sinned. Neither this man nor his parents." The reality is, we in the world we live in, we're broken. And struggling with sadness, grief, and depression can truly be overwhelming and complicated. And sometimes, even when we don't cause it, we experience sadness. But this is why Christmas is so great. I love the story, the Christmas story listed in Luke chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2 or a phone app, or you can just listen, that's fine too. But I just want to read a section of that story in Luke chapter 2 from 8 to verse 14, where the angels come and they tell that Jesus was born, and they tell humans why Jesus came. In verse 8 of chapter 2, It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. A good blue-collar job working third shift. Nothing more fun than that, right? An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And it says, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, like armies from heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Jesus came to bring us joy. He came to bring us peace. And it's too bad that during the time when we celebrate him, that's like the opposite feeling that we oftentimes experience. Notice in that last part of it, it does say, "Peace to those on whom his favor rests." And I just want to encourage you real fast that gaining God's favor does not require you being a good person or a religious person. It tells us, Jesus tells us, and whether you've been in Greg's sermons the last couple of weeks or in our student class out in the cafeteria, gaining God's favor simply requires us to believe and put our faith in Jesus, the one who died for our sins, the one who came to fix our brokenness. But I will say this, even if you start a relationship with Jesus, you will experience joy and peace to some extent, but you'll find that even with a fixed relationship with God, our world is still broken. We are still broken. He does promise to one day to restore everything to the way it was intended. And in the meantime, he gives us some tips on how to respond to our pain in a way that brings peace and even joy. I realize this topic is a little bit of a downer, but talking about this is actually one of the very tips that we are encouraged to do. In 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." One of the tips of feeling merry during Christmas is talking to God about what you're going through. And it's not fun. It's never fun to talk about the struggles you're going through because it's embarrassing. And a lot of times it's humbling. But that humility is necessary. Admitting that you need help is super important. And not only that, but talking to God is important because he is mighty. And he has the power to help. Like, he is the one 2018 years ago when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and we buried him in a tomb. God's the one who brought him dead back to life. And for those who trust in Jesus, that's what we hope he'll do with us, is bring us who are dead back to life in heaven too. And if we can trust him to do something as impossible and crazy as that, then we can trust him with the sadness and the struggles that we're feeling with, we're wrestling with. He says, tell him about it, talk with him about it. And he says, because he cares about you, he has the power to help. And he wants to help. He cares. But don't stop there. Don't stop with only talking with God about it. Talk with other people in your life that are there to support you with it too. Whether that's a spouse or a friend or a doctor. Like, one of the wisdom tidbits the Bible gives us in Ecclesiastes 4 is that, like, God puts people in our lives to help us when we're down. He says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let me illustrate this real fast. Perhaps you are like this strong rope that could hold a lot of weight. You can handle a lot because you're strong. But let me say this. If and when you're strong enough to survive on your own and hard times in your life comes and you experience brokenness like everyone in this room has, your life's going to fall apart and there's going to be no one there to help you. And you're going to be broken. But if you lean on others and you talk about it with other people in your life, other people that are there to support you, you're kind of like one of these weak pieces of yarn that can't hold a lot of weight, twisted with other human people that are also weak. And you'll find that if you are surrounded by people who are there to support you, you can experience brokenness and your world doesn't fall apart. In fact, if you all experience brokenness in various aspects of your life, you can all be broken and still not fall apart because you're there to support each other. You're there to hold each other's lives together. And the Bible just says, lean on those people. Talk about it. Talk about it with God. Talk about it with other people. But don't try to bear your burdens alone. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn because they will be comforted. Those who express their sadness and sorrow out loud. Jesus says, mourning is the path to comfort. It's the path to find healing. So don't bottle up whatever you're going through inside of you. Don't keep it to yourself. Let it out. Vent to someone who you can trust, someone who's there to support you. There was an article online that I found that was entitled 9 True Stories About Overcoming Depression. One of the stories in the article was about Drew Farnsworth. It says, Drew Farnsworth isn't very open about his depression or his attempt at suicide. Why he let them write an article about him and post it on the world for the world to see, I don't know, but he did. When in college 14 years ago, from the time this article was written, it says Farnsworth almost died by suicide. But his roommate found him in time, and that's where everything changed. When he got to college, or he went to college, got a degree, and now owns 2 businesses. He thanks his family and those around him for helping him rise above depression. He says this, with the help of my family, many therapists, numerous pharmacologists, very good habits, and a lot of time, I've been able to live a healthy and mostly happy life. Drew found support. He found people that would help him. And he leaned on him. Philippians 4:6 not only encourages us to share our anxieties with God, but it also adds one thing to it. It says, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it says, if we do that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we learn to talk about it with God and practice saying thank you, that combination gives our heart peace from God. And let's admit it, there's a lot of things in our lives that are good that we owe God a thank you for. Even when we don't feel like it. The Bible doesn't just suggest us practicing being thank you. In a lot of areas, it commands it. It says, be thankful for everything. Practice it. And don't just limit your gratitude to God, but express your gratitude to others as well. Because it's good. That's why we teach our kids to do it. Everyone pull out your phone real fast. Pull out your phone. if you have it easily accessible. Usually we say put your phones away. Opposite, pull it out. While I talk, even if you ignore the rest of what I say today, I want you to be thinking about someone in your contacts who a thank you is past due. Whether that's a roommate that's been really gracious with you, or a really supportive parent, or maybe a boss that is always there to have your back, or a coworker that's given you their friendship. Think of someone who you owe a thank you to, and while we talk, if you think of that person, send them a quick text, and just tell them what they did for you, and add the words thank you to the end. Like, if you practice this, it's a big deal. So keep your phone out. If you think of someone, shoot a text while we talk. Saying thank you helps us not take things in our life for granted. I know in our household, in my marriage, if I learned to be more appreciative, it would cause so much less bickering and fighting, which causes me problems. I don't like it. But like in our relationship, if we can learn to be appreciative, it helps everything. Gratitude reminds our brain of the good things that we have in our lives, which is what the next verse in Philippians encourages us to do. Philippians 4 verse 8, it says, "And if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Like, get your brain focused on the good things in life. I know when you're feeling sad and depressed, thinking about the good things is not what you feel like doing. But it's a good habit to get you out of the slump. It's something that we're working on with our son, Zane, our three-year-old Zane. He is the cutest fusser butt you'll ever meet. Every day when I head off to work, Amy chuckles and laughs, and Zane will be at home just moping on the couch. "I want Dad." And then when I'll come home and Amy will go shopping and he'll sit on the couch and mope. "I want Mom." Last night he was in the tub surrounded by toys. And I heard him fussing in the bathtub. So I went in there, "Zane, what's up? Are you okay?" "I just want my Batman car." And it's like anything that he doesn't have, that's what his brain focuses on. And it's like we're trying to get him to focus on, man, your life is so full of so many good things. Like, focus on the good things in life and then learn to enjoy those good things that you have. Sometimes when we go through a big transition in life, whether it's moving or maybe you've been in a slump for a long period of time and you've been wrestling with sadness or depression for a long period of time, a lot of times we let the things that we once enjoyed kind of slip out of our routine. So maybe in order to help you focus on the good things in life, maybe a little planning is required. Maybe you need to plan something good back into your life, something that you enjoyed before you were wrestling with that. Perhaps it's a holiday tradition that you grew up doing, and now it's time to incorporate it into your family. Maybe it's simply planning a time of exercise or a time of reading. Or maybe it's talking your family into playing a game. But get yourself focused on the good things in life. I know when we moved to Maine, one of the things that I quickly missed was being with my friends and my family back in Indiana playing board games. I really loved that. Like, that was something in life I really enjoyed. And I remember here in Maine when I found a couple buddies that liked playing games too, and we got together. Like, it made me feel so much better. Like, it was therapy. Like, I would look forward to it all month just for game night. And I still do. And game board guys, it's time again. Just saying. But get yourself focused on the good things in life. One good thing that we all have is our ability to give and love on others, which is something Jesus says will make us happy when we put into practice. Acts 20, 35 says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." That when we learn to give someone a hand, we feel happy. I want to introduce you to my new glove that I bought this last week. His name's Lefty. How you doing, Lefty? He's not good at giving high fives. He's not good at doing much, including he can't even support something that is valuable, like nothing. He's dead. He's lifeless. He's empty on the inside, which is exactly how Scripture describes us before Jesus comes into our lives. It describes us as being dead in our sins without Jesus, unable to discern between good and bad, and unable to love the way God created us to love people. But when we let Jesus in our life, he gives us life. And he not only helps us know the difference between good and bad, but he teaches us how to love other people the way God intended. John 15, 11 through 12 says this. It says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, Jesus says, love each other as I have loved you. When we let Jesus lead our life, he leads us to give other people a hand. They get help. We feel happy. Everybody wins. Sometimes he leads us simply by giving people our time and our friendship and just to be there for them. Sometimes he leads us to give people a gift or some of our possessions. Sometimes he leads us to give people something as simple as a meal or making a neighbor your favorite holiday dessert or appetizer. I remember from last year's Christmas, that was my favorite memory, is one of the traditions we do is mid-morning we make a big Christmas brunch. And we started making the brunch and we looked over and our neighbor James, one of our buddies that we developed, was sitting over at his house riding out the snowstorm with his dog all alone. And so I called him up and I said, James, you want to come over for breakfast? And he said, I had just woke up. It's snowing real hard outside. I think I'm going to sit this one out. Great. So we ended up cooking a big breakfast and we made James some eggs and some biscuits and gravy and bacon, and Amy made her monkey bread. Some people call it sticky buns. So good. And then a big old thermos of hot apple cider, and we ran it over to him on a tray. And just the thought of maybe we made his Christmas just a little bit better made Amy and I just so happy. Like that was the funnest thing we did on that Christmas. Which is exactly what Jesus teaches. He says, Jesus teaches that when we give, he says, it will be given to you. So if you're struggling to find happiness, then work to give happiness to someone else. Give someone else a hand. These tips that we're talking about, these are things that you can do. And if you're suffering, just know that you're not alone. Even Jesus himself was described as a man of suffering, familiar with pain. But it does require the right attitude. Have the attitude like David had when he wrote the 42nd chapter in the book of Psalms, and two different areas in the same chapter of poetry that he wrote, he talks to himself and he says this. He tells himself, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Like he was determined, he was going to have the right attitude, no matter what his feelings felt. Even though you may not feel like it, have the determination to put into practice one of these tips that help you experience peace and joy during this holiday season. I hope all of you have a genuine Merry Christmas. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you that you want us to experience your peace and joy. I pray that you would help us do that. We say all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.